Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Slam Fire Radio, episode 37, the impromptu edition.
Very impromptu.
Yeah, so welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's been a while since I've been here.
Yeah, so you are here.
I have. I'm at Trevor's. He graciously invited me over to pick up my bullets that he reloaded for me, which was very kind of him, and I thank him for it. And he thanked me in return by taking me to his old house and having me move his dryer and washer and load my truck up with his stuff and bring it to his new house. So
everybody needs to say they've taken a washer and dryer up a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
At least once.
Well, I've done it many times, and it's, quite frankly, it's getting tired.
It's getting old. So am I.
So, I guess Owen's not here. He's
at home.
Well,
actually, he's on a date.
He's on a date with his wife.
Wait till... Aw, you ruined my joke.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, wait till Amy finds out.
Well, she was on the date with him, so...
Yeah, so I guess she knows she's
sorry,
there.
Sorry, Amy. Had to put up with Owen for, like, a couple of hours. We're not used to that yet. A
couple of hours. They're going to, like, part two of The Hobbit, which is, like, 16 days long.
Oh, my God. Are they really going to...
Yeah. Yeah, so I got criticized for saying that they were going to go to romance, which was your idea. And he's like, you don't know her at all. We're going to The Hobbit.
Well, why would you know her? Are you married to her?
No, I don't think I am.
He's married to her.
Yes, I think he is.
Yeah.
We don't hang out much either, so...
No.
Who?
No, you and Amy? Yeah. Not much.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole Hobbit thing.
Here's what I don't get. Lord of the Rings, it was a trilogy?
Yeah.
Right? So, three big, thick books turned into three movies. And then it took one little, tiny book and turned it into three movies.
And it could have been, hey, Frodo, dude, we need you to go steal this thing from a dragon, and after you walk for days and days to get there, you can ride some eagles home.
Yeah.
Why not? Hey, Frodo, here's some eagles.
Here's some eagles. Go throw the stupid thing in the ring, or in the fire, then come back.
That was later on.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, then it gets, you know. Anyway, the point is...
Eagles.
Eagles.
Really.
Really. And then, they already knew about the eagles during the Lord of the Rings, right?
Sure.
So when they said to, you know, when Frodo's like, Bilbo, you gotta take this ring up to the mountain and throw the fire... By the way, I know these great eagles.
No. Let's walk.
Yeah.
Let's walk.
This is not a Lord of the Rings show.
No, this is a gun podcast, and we're talking about, well, Frodo.
And poking holes in logic. Or not poking holes in logic, poking holes in plants by using logic.
Right.
So, right.
Anyway,
like
we're sorry that we went off on a tangent there.
I'm not, though.
I'm not either.
Okay.
Yeah. I was trying to be, you know, gracious.
So, Matthew,
yes.
What have you been doing with guns?
Boy, let me tell you. Well, I came here, and here I am, and we went to the range.
You've done nothing since the last show?
I don't think so. I installed the stock on my 795 that I got. That was it. And that is not just taking out two screws and then putting them. I had to Dremel out a bunch of stuff for the...
Oh, this is because it's originally for the two-fed one, right?
The Marlin 60, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I had to... Now, there is a... They tell you where to cut away. Like, it's actually stenciled inside. So I knew what I was doing, and I've done it before. So, but anyway, it took me a couple hours to get that done. But anyway, that's not really interesting or exciting, so...
Well, sure it is. It's gun stuff. You worked on the gun.
Yep, I guess. And it shoots, so... Oh, man, shooting it today at the range was just, when we were shooting, we have a tent test is what it's called. It's that black fibrous material that you staple your targets to.
Nobody knows what its original purpose is for, but it always ends up being used for targets.
I don't even know what it's originally for. Is it like insulation or something?
I think so. I bought large, copious amounts of it for archery because you cut it in slices and you sandwich it together like a loaf of bread, and that's your butt.
Arrow stopper.
Yeah, yeah. So the arrows slide between the slices. And the guy at the hardware store asked us, so what's this stuff for anyway?
They don't even know.
No.
That's funny. Anyway, so when we're shooting it, bits of this stuff go flying out the back, and it was littering the snow, which, you know, of course, no big deal. It's biodegradable, I'm sure. But anyway, so I take the .22, and I'm picking off these little flakes of this tent test on the snow and just
Well, now, I saw you do that with a different... Are you talking... Did you do that with the 795?
I did that with the 795 as well. Okay. Yeah. So it was just so much fun. You just pick out a little speck in the snow and bang, it's gone when you pull the trigger. It's just such an accurate gun. I love it.
Well, but, you're basically shooting at little bits that are the same size as the bullet.
I think they're even smaller than the bullet.
Some of them.
Yeah. But anyway, I did that for a little while. And then, again, like you said there a second ago, I was doing it as well with my Beretta 70, which is the 22 pistol that I won at the IPSC Nationals. But you had a go at that, too. That was fun, eh? Like, it's just very accurate little gun.
Yeah, when you shoot it correctly and don't jerk the trigger like I did.
It's a nice single-stage trigger. Well, you should be used to 1911-type triggers, shouldn't you?
I mean 2011. See?
No, that's not what I meant. 20. No, that's not what I meant at all. So I did that, and then I've been shooting your Glock. I've been toying with the idea of picking up a Glock 17 so that I have the same gear as Trevor and Owen, just so we can swap mags and stuff if we need to. So the last time I had a Glock 17, I couldn't shoot it very well, so I wanted to try it out again to make sure that I, in fact, could shoot it. And I still can't, as well as I thought I might be able to. You have a Glock 17 Gen 4, and you had no back strap on. And I think I'd need a back strap on. So we're going to go back to the range tomorrow. We've got a back strap on it now. Made it a little bit bigger, so.
It's funny, I don't know why I never put the back strap on, because you think about my Glock 35, which was my competition pistol.
That's a Gen 3 and has the full size grip, right. Which is what this.
Yeah, so with is. One back strap, you get the same size grip as a Gen 3.
Yeah.
And yet, for some reason with that gun.
I like it.
Yeah, I liked it with the smaller grip. I mean. Looking at my target up there from...
Was that with the Gen 4 or Gen 3?
No, that's the gun you're holding.
You took this down to Mag 40?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize. I thought you just wanted to down.
No. Oh. I open carried with Tommy's 19.
Oh, why didn't you open carry with your own?
Because it was a 19.
Because it was a 19. I had to go one smaller.
Yeah, it had like 15-round mags and, right. You know, a short barrel or, you know, the right side of the barrel.
The right size barrel,
Glock 17 is nice, but Glock 19 is nicer.
Yeah, it's just a little bit smaller. It's just... Yeah. Yeah, I wish we could have 19s up here. Well, we can. And I wish you two had picked up 19 so I could get a 19 as well. But I want the same gear as you guys, so I'll get a 17. If in fact, I shoot this better tomorrow. But well, anyway, it was fun.
Yeah, I mean...
It's been since Nationals, really, since I've really seriously shot handgun. Yeah. So I just need some more practice, probably.
Yeah, you're walking there at first with your grip.
Yeah, I wasn't holding it right. You caught that, and I've kind of fixed it now, I think.
Yeah.
So, I'll try that again tomorrow and see if I can make that work.
Yeah, it looks something like that.
Yeah, hold it up to the microphone so the listeners can see. Yeah, there you go. He really did hold it up to the microphone.
You see that, listeners? Yeah. Go the extra mile for you.
You're a numpty.
Yes.
Okay, so we shot our ARs.
Yeah.
With 22 conversion kits in them.
Yeah. You did a fantastic job repairing the one that Filthy gave me that was broken. He hates me.
Well, he must hate me, too. He sent me one that was broken as well. So.
He sent you a better broken one, though.
It was much yours. Better. Yeah, mine's way better than yours.
Way better.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, for whatever reason, weak primer strikes galore, and you did some little fine-tuning to it. And,
well, I stretched the firing pin, really, is what I did.
So, yeah, you just grab hold that real tight.
Just pull.
Yeah. And in my STI, it ran a lot better than it did in my NEA. It still ran well in my NEA, but...
Your STI likes it better?
Yeah, it just doesn't fit into the NEA upper as well as into the STI.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, it fits so poorly in the NEA upper that I actually had to change the charging handle. The Bravo Company machine charging handle did not work with the conversion kit in the NEA. However, in the STI it did. So I put just a regular crappy old mil-spec charging handle in it and it fit and
worked fine then.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's beefier, and so the inside channel is a little bit smaller, and so it doesn't fit in right.
The upper, maybe?
Yeah.
Because it's an identical charging handle, so maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's too bad, too, because that's the one I want to play with the most.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's got the EOTech on it, and just, you know.
Well, just keep messing with it. I'm sure you'll figure it out, so it works well. But that was fun.
Yeah.
And then you had your TAC-21 chassis'd Remington 700 and 308 there as well.
Yeah.
So we actually, when we got there, the snow was up to our waist, basically. Not quite.
Our
knees, for sure. We had to jump the fence because somebody, Jason McIntyre, didn't change the locks on the...
From the gate to the door.
Yeah. Or shovel it out, really. Of course, we could have done that, but we're not going to. We jumped the fence instead. Anyway.
Which is a lot of fun with that gun.
48,000 pounds of gun.
Well, range bag with two pistols in it. ammo can with ammo, a double rifle case, your rifle case, and all your stuff was in your case, right?
Yeah.
So still,
anyway, yeah,
a lot of fun to throw over the fence.
Yeah, but we when we got there, when we opened up the shooting windows, there was a bunch of snowbank up, and well, Trevor, he cleared it out the old-fashioned way with a broom. And you'll have to check my YouTube channel to see how I cleared it out, because I didn't use a broom, let's just say that.
Are you going to cut in the scene where we cleared some of that too?
Yeah, I'll put both in. Yeah, we used the Remington 700 to clear some snow as well, so that'll be fun. So check out YouTube channel. It'll be up sometime around when this video, or this podcast goes up.
So probably. you shot the Glock.
Yep.
You're still on the fence.
Still on the fence, yep.
Shot your 795.
Oh, yeah, I love them 795.
And then you shot your...
Beretta 70.
Yeah.
And then
you shot your AR too.
Yeah.
That AR is badass.
I love my AR.
I like the way your front's... you got a black flash hider on a stainless barrel that pop
in a flash gun.
In a flash gun?
Or in a black gun.
In a black gun. So you got some stainless and some black happening. It looks really cool. You got the pop-up gas block front sight. Then you got the rear pop-up, which is what again?
At Yankee? No.
Not a Yankee home machine.
It's Troy Industries.
Right, and it lays really flat.
Really flat, yep.
And then you got the Bushnell / Tasco optic on there that you got last time you were here.
Right, which is still working fine, by the way.
Yeah.
Very nice and accurate still, holding zero, so.
I'm trying to find a rail to... Well, I want the Mossberg rail, the rail that they have in the Blackwater. Mossberg 598-1 Blackwater Edition has a rail with a peep sight.
Right, so we transitioned to shotguns here for the people who don't realize.
Well, what I'm getting is that you and I swapped opposite. I had no idea what was in the box. I thought that you had taken it out and used it. So, like, you gave me a brand new Vortex optic for a Tasco optic.
Let's continue on with that train and then let you continue to believe that.
What are you talking about? The package was sealed.
Inside?
Yes. You had that Vortex... Spark you gave me, dude, was brand new. It was sealed.
All right, cool.
Completely sealed.
Yeah, I didn't open it.
Yeah.
See, I sent it away, and then they sent it back sealed.
And you never opened it.
It was the same one.
No, it's
see,
a brand new.
See, they sent me
new.
Two. Yeah. I sent them one, and they sent me two back. Mm-hmm. So one went to Owen, and one went to you. So
it was brand new.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, brother. That's awesome. So anyway, I've yet to get it on my shotgun.
Because you need a rail.
Yeah.
Have you tried, like, duct tape?
Yes.
Yes, I love how he says yes.
No, Jeff Reese is working on one for me. They thought they were in stock, but they weren't. So, Jeff, get it together, man.
Yeah, come on, Jeff. Jeez.
Yeah.
Don't you like Trevor anymore?
I guess he never
I know did. I don't, but you should.
I'm still nice to him.
Yeah. Oh, you know what the other thing I did? I went on the Rimfire podcast with Ken Kowalski.
Yes, that's right. That was awesome.
Last Saturday, or last
almost,
Sunday.
You talked about almost everything except Rimfire.
But Rimfire, yeah. We started off with warning shots, which we talked for like almost 20 minutes about warning shots.
And you just can't stop yourself.
I still defended it. Yeah, I can't stop
myself. That being said.
Look, they're bad ideas, but that being said, sometimes
they work.
So, check that out. It was actually a pretty good episode. It's episode 25 of the Rimfire podcast with Ken Kowalski. Yeah. So... yep, that was fun.
So back to today then. So I brought out... we covered everything you did? No, we didn't.
What else
did I talk about your pistol? The .22 pistol.
We talked about it a little bit.
Did we? Well, what was really cool was the little bits of pen tests that you were shooting with the rifle. You were also shooting with the pistol.
Right.
One shot and poof, little piece of pen test gone. I tried it. I got a couple, but most of the time I think it was either high or low or whatever, but... fantastic, accurate little pistol.
I like it. It's very small. It's really hard to get your hand around it well, but once you do figure out the grip, I really, really like it. Jewel actually likes it quite a bit. She's going to be taking the Tommy course with us, and I think that's the pistol she's going to use.
Cool. Makes sense.
I gave her my Ruger Mark III 22-45, but with the hammered cocked, she could pull back the bolt, but with the hammer down, she couldn't. So the extra resistance of an uncocked gun, she couldn't get the bolt back to chamber around, so I gave her the other pistol, and it's super easy because it's an external hammer. You just cock the hammer and rack the slide. There's absolutely very little resistance, so
it works very well.
Yeah, hold up the microphone so listeners can see you.
But no, that is definitely actually a training tip technique that instructors will do.
Yep, if you don't have the strength, cock the hammer first, and then rack the slide.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't do that on a internal hammer or a striker fire.
No.
So anyway, you better get into what you've been doing, because we're halfway through the show already.
All right. Well, leading up to the show, I went out with listener Paul Furlott, was down from Ottawa.
That's your cousin, right?
No, because he spells his name wrong.
He
spelled it with an F-I instead of an F-U.
Right, an F-U is definitely up your alley.
That's right. You want to spell it right, it's F-U, pal. F-U-R. So, anyhow, we went out and we shot the STI 22 conversion kit, and we shot my Remington 597. And we shot...
Why didn't you bring a 597 out? We could add a 795 versus 597.
We tried that once and I lost. We're moving on.
Right.
So,
I'll let you have a scope and I'll go open sights.
Oh, now you're pushing it. And what else did we shoot?
Well, you shot your AR and you shot your open gun, which you're playing with right now.
Yeah, I shot my open gun that day. And
the other day. I thought you were talking about...
Yeah, with Paul. Mind. With Paul, I shot the open gun.
Right.
So, and the Glock 17.
Right.
Brought that out. He thought that his girlfriend's a spy, basically. And
she works for CSIS?
Something like that. Yeah. She's with the RCMP, and she's going to need she works like computer crimes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, after SWAT, you know, kicks in the door at like a Hells Angels clubhouse.
She goes and goes to the forensic computer stuff.
As soon as it's clear, she's on the computers, right? And so anyway, they wanted her to have a firearms classification,
mm-hmm.
or qualification. And so he wanted to take her out and get some time on the pistol. It was her birthday, and she decided she had better things to do. So, sorry. I hope you cut that out.
No, I probably won't. No, this is a short show, so no editing.
So, anyway, she never made it out. So Paul shot the Glock 17 and the open gun. And he's got a super fast trigger finger.
It's pretty cool. Oh,
Yeah, and then Jason and I went out to test his new rifle and shoot my open gun. He bought a Savage Axis.
Oh, I know somebody with one of those.
In 223.
Oh, I know somebody with one of those.
And the night we bought it, we took it here, and we didn't do a fancy trigger job to it. All we did was chop two coils off the spring, which helped.
It's a start. Yep.
Yeah. It definitely took it down a couple of pounds. There's no question.
They start off pretty heavy.
Yeah. It's kind of single stagey.
Yeah.
You know, it breaks nice. So it's not horrible. We removed the scope, and we didn't lap the rings, but we leveled everything with the Wheeler level, and
yep.
We torqued down all the rings. And then we loaded up some ammo with just that. We didn't get the overall length the same as yours, or the crimp necessarily the same as yours, but we used the VMAX 55-grain projectile, miscellaneous brass, 25 grains of argot, and just threw them together in the same length that I was using in my XCR, because that's what the die was set at last.
Right, yep.
And we went out and we shot sub-MOA.
Yep.
He broke it in with just some Federal AR 55-grain full metal jacket stuff.
Yep.
And he took the trouble to break it in, and he cleaned it after every shot for so many shots, and then he cleaned it after every three-shot group for so many shots, till the patches just weren't coming out as black as they had been.
Right.
And then we decided to sight it in at 100, and... his shot was half inch, three bullets, and then my shot was two bullets in the same hole, and then I tossed one out with a bad shot.
Right.
Opened up. So, fantastic. So, with the open gun, I'm not in love with it. I'm still in love with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not super reliable. Of course, today was really dirty.
Yeah, but we noticed, what did you do today whenever it wasn't working?
Oiled it.
And then it worked.
Like a charm.
Imagine. Yeah.
A dirty wet gun will run better than a dirty dry gun, yeah. So... I put the ballast all to it, and it ran like a top after that. But I suppose when I was up with Jason, it was starting to get dirty too, or maybe it was just too dry. You know, it's
a 1911 after all.
Well, it's a 1911 clone, right. And it's tight. I mean, you know, try and find some play in that slide. It's
tight.
Yeah.
It's very tight.
So it's going to need to be wet, right?
Yep.
It's accurate. And that's funny. I saw your face just now. I have two mounts for the Seymour slide. One, the traditional, and one that puts it at 90 degrees. And the advantage to the 90-degree mount is that your ejection port is completely open. So if there are any malfunctions, there's no chance of the brass getting wedged between the sight and the slide. And if there's a stovepipe, you can get at it very easily. The only problem is, one, aesthetically, it's very unattractive.
Sideways?
Yeah, look at it.
It looks weird.
It does look weird.
It looks like you're supposed to shoot it like a gangster.
Yeah, seriously.
You could. You should try that. I should put it on video.
The other issue is, look how close the lens is now to the muzzle.
Very close.
And with that comp, and open guns have compensators on them to keep the muzzle down, and there's gas blown out the sides and out the top. And some of that gas is ending up on the lens. And Sal's lens is all foggy. And
Yeah,
the guys were like, no, he's just not cleaning it right. I've read the instructions that come with it, and they say just clean it with glass cleaner and a lens. You'll be good. The other downside to this is flip the gun on its 180. Now look at what you got to do to get in here to adjust it. You need to cut off Allen key to get in there.
Right.
And I kind of messed that screw up a little bit today.
So it's hard to actually sight it in properly because
well, it's hard to adjust it. Once it's sighted in, it's fine, but it's hard to adjust it.
Yeah. So the mount's in the way, basically. The
mount is in the way, yeah. And now, this mount, they've come out with a newer version of it. See, it's shaped like an X.
Yep.
It's very straight up. They have a new one that sweeps the whole sight further back on the gun.
That'll keep it a little bit further away from the comp.
Gets the lens away from the comp, yeah. So, and still, if the lens is here, and when I say here, I mean just in front of the ejection port,
yep.
You're still not going to... You're not going to
have problems you're with ejection. Yep. So that's an option.
Yeah.
Wanted to go that way.
This mount also has a gas pedal thumb rest built into it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I can use it right off the bat. And it's a horizontal thumb rest.
Yeah,
so. Not on an angle.
Right.
And so that puts your thumb in a more natural position.
That's straightforward. It's what you're traditionally used to whenever you're using a duty pistol.
Yeah. And when you use the other gas pedal, your thumb is at about a 30 degree angle.
Right.
Like that. Which is not natural.
Yeah.
So this at least would, same muscle memory on all my guns if I use this gas pedal.
Yep.
So I was going to take it off while we were doing the show, but I'm just not sure.
Yeah. Well, it's a hard call.
Yeah. Definitely a pain in the butt to sight in though. The other option would be, and this would be, at least I could access the screws better, but it would be more time consuming, is remove it. There's a screw here and a screw here. Remove it.
Adjust it and put it back on. And that won't, it should go back to the same zero we
done. Yeah, zero. Yeah, look.
Possibly,
two
yeah.
Two screws here, so.
Yeah.
So anyway, I shot this today, and then, what else? My EA?
Yeah, your NEA and...
Oh, then the Attack 21.
Yeah.
We shot some groups at 200, and we shot some groups at 100.
Yep.
Had a fantastic 3-shot going there one time.
You did? Yeah.
It was,
and then you kept going.
Quarter of an inch? No, not a quarter of an inch. It was.
Where were you at? You were at 200?
Yeah. No. At 100, I had those three bullets.
Yeah, that was a quarter of an inch. At 100, yeah. That was a quarter MOA. Well, I mean, looking at it from where we were.
Yeah, well, we could see the three bullets made the same hole.
Yeah.
And then it opened up a little bit. But that was just throwaway crap ammo. That was, those were projectiles that were given to me by Fusilier. Was it Fusilier that sent those?
I don't remember. I have the memory of yogurt. Or of Dora.
Pretty sure it was Dora who sent me those projectiles.
Dora. Yeah, definitely Dora.
Yeah. Sent me a whole bunch of projectiles. And one of those projectiles ended up being the most accurate thing we've done so far, which is 165 grain nozzler. Or 168.
Yeah. Write us, 165. Send us an email who you are. We forget. And we could go and look it up, but we're lazy, but we do want to give you credit. So.
Well, we got some from Fusiliers in Nova Scotia.
Right.
He gave us that brass cleaned with stainless steel pins, and he gave us the most beautiful lead projectiles.
Yes, I do remember that. Yes, but those were very nice looking.
Somebody else that sent me 30 cal bullets anyway.
That's because they like you better.
Well, it's not hard, really.
No, it really isn't. And I understand completely why it is. So.
Yes, because short bus people need love too.
Yep, definitely.
So they just have to pay more.
Sure.
So anyway, nice to get that. The gun is for sale, but I do not want to sell it.
So it is $8,000.
$8,500. Yeah, no, I'm actually selling it for exactly what I paid for it, but I am not going to say the price.
Because you don't want anybody to buy it.
Well, no. If they want to know the price, they can send me a PM on Facebook. I believe that what people pay for their guns are their business, so I don't advertise.
Kind of like what you pay for your wife is your own business?
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm not going to advertise the price because, guns cost $32.
Yeah.
And that's why we want to keep it.
They cost $20 and ammo's free, right? That's what my wife thinks.
That's right. So
the way to do it there.
I've won more guns in the last 3 years.
Than your bank account knows about.
Yeah, and my accountant and my wife. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
So well, we had a pretty good time out of the range. We've done a little bit of stuff with guns, I guess. What's coming up next week? Do you remember?
I was just going to ask you that. What are we doing next week?
I don't remember.
We have a guest lined up.
Probably.
Is it these next week, the January 2nd show?
I think it is, yes.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be Jeff Reese.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be Glocks versus 1911s.
Oh, that'll be fun. So basically, Glocks are going to win.
It's basically like you and Owen against me and Jeff.
Oh, Jeff's a 1911 guy. Same as you.
Jeff actually bought a legit 1911. Here Jeff was the Core 15, Air 15 guy, and a Glock 17 flat dock earth. I don't know why, but anyway. And like us, hated 1911s. And then he turns around and he buys a Ruger SR 1911.
Yeah. Those are nice 1911s, I have to say.
That's the 1911 I don't like, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the...
That's the only one you don't like?
No, I don't like the old school... Okay. I don't like the old school single stack 45.
Right.
And you know what I hate about the most? The capacity.
Yeah.
I can't buy into a handgun that big that holds 7 bullets.
Yeah. Well, they're big bullets.
Yeah, but... Yeah. How come Glock can have 15 or 13 rounds? Well, how come FN can have...
Because they're made out of... Well, they're bigger.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Side to side.
The gun is big.
Yeah.
There's no need to have...
It's slim,
seven
though.
Bullets.
But it's slim.
Not as slim as you think.
I don't know.
It's, you know, it's...
I think we should save the 1911 bashing for next show, probably.
True. But anyway,
well, I should. You should try to... Try to figure out what I'm going to say.
Well, I'm actually on Jeff's side.
Right, yeah.
How a Glock guy turns into a 1911 guy. But I am not a 1911 guy.
Right.
I just have several clones.
You just have several clones, yeah.
Right.
And there's our filthy reference for the...
I have several clones.
We just have one clone, filthy. We know it's you.
These aren't the clones you're looking for.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up. We want to remind you that you should join one or both of our National Firearms Associations, the NFA and or the CSSA. Also, check us out on the Reno Viola Outdoors Network at renoviolaoutdoors.com, I believe, or something similar to that. I don't have my notes in front of me.
Me either. It could be CA as well, because it's Canadian.
If you put Reno Viola in
Google,
you'll find it.
And please go like them on Facebook.
Yes.
After you like us on Facebook.
Right.
Because somebody liked us.
Somebody unliked us. We were at 896, and now we're at 895. So whoever you are.
95 to 94.
Oh, we went to 94 now.
Yeah, we're at 894.
Well, we lost two then. Once we were at 896.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty sure.
I cut that. Yeah. So we need some love back, folks.
Yeah, come on.
And don't forget to also check out the Crusader Podcast Network.
That's right.
Yeah. And the owner, creator of that podcast network, Joseph of the Chetwood, will be on our show in January as well.
Right. I believe he was on a different show recently, wasn't he?
Yeah, some modern rimfire.
Modern rimfire rifle. Yeah, something like that.
Service conditions.
Service rifle, rimfire.
Fiery stuff.
Something. And I believe they stole our idea to have him on their show.
Totally.
You told him who our guest was, and they said, we're going to snipe him, get him before them, so it makes it look like they're copying us.
Ken Kowalski would never stoop that low.
No,
but Brian Bolivar would. I asked Brian if he wanted to come on with us tonight. Oh, like, I'm sick.
He had a code in his nose.
Yeah, code in his nose. That's right. We're just kidding, Brian.
No, well, Trevor is. Anyway, thanks for listening. Stay safe out there. Hug your guns and all that good stuff.
And take somebody shooting.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.